you know there's data collected everywhere, right? What you order online, your footsteps through Fitbits. What about how you feel when you talk to coworkers, where you talk to them and when? A lot of workers wear badges, but what if your badge collected that data? Well, it is for thousands of workers through a company called Humanize, which says the data collected improves efficiency for clients like Bank of America and Deloitte. Ben Weber is co-founder and CEO of Humanize. He joins us now in the studio, and you have a thing around your neck.
I have our badge around my neck because I always wear it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Now, it looks like the size of a pack of cards. It looks like you have a white iPhone.
I think that's a good way to think about it.
So it's frightening me. What is it doing?
So right now, it's looking at how I'm talking. So the amount of time I'm talking, it can tell right now I'm talking to somebody else. But because you're not wearing a device, it doesn't know who you are. If I was within my office, it would know where I am, how I'm moving around. And then that really helps me understand, you know, if I'm meeting with a customer, actually, how can I sell better?
As it's recording you now, and as it would be recording workers as they spoke with each other, is it recording what you're saying to me?
No, what's critical is we don't record what people say. In real time, there's voice processing. So we're looking at, again, how much I talk, where I spend time. And that data is always aggregated. I'm the only one who gets to see my own data. So at my company, we can see that the team average for this team looks like this for certain behaviors, but you can't zoom in on a specific individual. Now, what's interesting when it comes to the way we manage companies, traditionally what happens is the CEO reads an article about what Google does, and they say, Google's a cool company. We should organize our company in exactly the same way. What we're able to do with this kind of data is essentially say, well, let's actually test out the way we manage the business. Instead of just rolling out something across the entire company, let's say, all right, well, let's roll out this training program to half of the people, and let's actually see from the behavioral data, in a matter of weeks, you can understand how did it quantitatively change how people work.
Well, so how would you know if you're not hearing content? What are you reading in that data that would tell you?
So importantly, and that's what's critical, is the data by itself, while it's interesting to know that I talk 60% of the time and maybe dominate conversations, at the same time, that context is critical, which you have as an individual, so I can see that I did this, but also that the company keeps track of themselves when they use our technology. So they're essentially saying, I'm starting a test here, I'm ending it here, and they're using that information themselves, again, across many, many people. Did those patterns change?
Well, so for instance, let's get a for instance here. I'm understanding that when you worked with Bank of America, what the data showed is this group interaction that people were talking a lot with each other. When they had overlaps in their lunch breaks, they were getting together and talking, and they were talking about, you know, things in an animated way.
Yes.
And so the company, assumes that a lot of that has to do with how they do their work, and they want them to have those conversations, and then they start designing ways for them to interact in that way.
So, for example, in a call center, there's actually a lot of information that's captured on your performance, how long it takes you to complete calls. That data is already there. And what we're able to do is pull that into our system so that I can quantitatively say, if you change your behavior in this way, say by 10%, here's how much that outcome will change. Bank of America was able to see in their dashboard, essentially, that if people's groups got more tightly knit, the more tightly knit your group got, the more cohesive your group, the quicker you completed calls. And as a consequence, they said, well, let's test out something. Let's give them coffee breaks at the same time. You're not changing anything else, but you're splitting the group into a test and a control. And because this data is coming in, you're able to say, well, yeah, this actually did change how people work. On top of that, it, of course, improved performance, and it also really reduced stress and turnover in these groups as well.
Just by having their coffee breaks at the same time, because you had a control group that didn't, and it didn't have the increase in performance. And how do you know that stress has gone down?
Well, we can actually figure out your stress by looking at changes in the way you talk. We validated this in the lab, and the way to measure stress is through cortisol, which is actually in your saliva. And so we got saliva samples from people in the lab, and we're able to show that, yes, we can measure that from changes in the way you talk.
Why do you need a thing hanging around your neck gathering data to know that it would be better to have people spend time together, and have other human interaction?
What's been fascinating from the outside is, first of all, looking at how devalued human communication is today, in the sense that companies look at that from a cost perspective. And they say, I can have everybody work from home because it's cheaper. And they don't actually understand, how does that quantitatively change the way that people work? And call centers are, you know, Bank of America, these were in their call centers, which was an interesting case. Call centers have been managed one way for about 60 years. And the idea is to maximize efficiency. It's always about that. It's not about if you talk to your coworker, because that's viewed as wasting time. Because you can't measure it, even though frontline employees had, to your point, said, you know what, it actually does matter when I talk to my coworkers. Management would always just say, well, that's your opinion. And it's not to say the data by itself tells us always the right thing to do. Of course it doesn't. But because this data is coming in at a faster rate, we can start to really use data to understand the way that we influence each other and test it at a level that we can't do without this kind of information.
Well, I understand that you measure, for instance, whether people lean in, like how
yes.
they speak to people. We've just done the surface of what this does. And you've said this is an aggregate of a group, a team. There's never mm-hmm. any content, and they're anonymous. You don't even know who it is.
That's right.
But there's still people who are going to balk at this idea that they have to wear this iPhone around their neck, you know, the way you are right now, and have anything recorded about how they behave at work. How do you address that? They can opt out.
It's actually opt in, which is very important. If you don't want to participate, you can just say, I don't want to.
But what if a company can't get any of their workers to participate? Well, how would you convince a worker to do it?
So there's two things. So first of all, we've gotten over 90% opt in on every single role that we've done. And we even give people, again, placebo badges that don't collect data. So if you don't want anyone to know you're not participating, no one would be able to tell. For you as an individual, what you get out of it, I mean, of course, you know, your company is essentially trying to make this a better workplace, but at a purely individual level, essentially you get a Fitbit for your career. And imagine for example, you're a programmer and you say, well, I want to be the best programmer. Well, we know in your company what the best programmers do, how they actually work. And we can show you what you do and how you compare to those people.
Well, how would that work? Like they don't take as many coffee breaks as you do, or they – whenever there's a problem, they go talk to each other and you don't. I mean,
it's higher level than that in the sense that we're looking at, you know, how much do they talk to people in other groups? I mean, very basically, if they're in a conversation with a coworker, do they dominate those conversations? Do they tend to listen more? Very, very simple things that are sure, if you have more contextual information, you could get a lot more concrete and a lot more detailed. But typically we don't have that information. We just know in general that actually, you know what, if you talk 20% more to people in other groups, you're likely to be a lot better.
You developed this at MIT?
Correct.
And you think this is going to be sewn into our clothing?
Within about 4 years, every single company ID badge is going to have these sensors, whether it's ours or somebody else's, right? We spend the majority of our waking hours at work. And so I think it makes sense for that to start to translate to our own lives as well. And I think what's really critical moving forward, though, is really for us to have regulation around the industry, because right now we do things in a certain way, right? We only do opt-in. We don't collect. We don't record what you say, all these things. But legally in the U.S., it's sort of the Wild West today. And so how do you protect the privacy of individuals while still being able to get the measurable, really powerful gains we've gotten, not just for companies, but for individuals as well?
Well, sure, because you keep saying you're not allowed to have your own information. I know there are people who will doubt that that's going to hold, you know, that someone's going to get a hold of it. And they go to the next company and suddenly they're greeted by a boss who says, wait a second, I see you don't lean in when you speak to someone or
that's right.
whatever.
I mean, our consent forms with our users are literally a legal contract between us and our users. I mean, they could sue us if we broke it. And we would frankly sue our customers if they tried to access individual data. And this is not – it's not happened. We have, again, thousands of users at this point. But that's – I mean, that's critical for us. We feel like, one, that's the right thing to do. But also, listen, if you go into a company and you say, hey, here's a sensor. It measures a lot of stuff about you. Wear this. I mean, no one's going to do it, right? And that's why it takes – when you first roll out at a company, it's about a 4-week rollout process, because we have to introduce this technology and say, listen, this is what we do. Here's what we've done in the past. Look at this consent form. Take a look at it. Read it through in plain English. Describes what we do. And you decide whether you want to do it. But if you participate, here's what you get. And a lot of people do really like what we get, right? And our feedback is literally 100% positive, because we are very transparent and we really, really are focused on helping our individual users really succeed in their careers.
That's Ben Weber, co-founder and CEO of Humanize, the company that builds devices to collect employee behavioral data that Humanize says can improve decision-making in the workplace. Ben, it's fascinating. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.